Hello there, and welcome to the end of the world. My name is David Leo Schultz. The Ragamuffin Preacher podcast is what you're listening to, season 2, episode 31. And I'm going to rapid fire a couple things at you. I'm going to give you a number. My number is 323-632-9289. And leave me a voicemail. No more than 90 seconds of any questions that you have, topics that you have, ways that you've been stirred as you've been listening to this podcast, or maybe stirred by the movies that we've made, or some of the content we've put out on Ragamuffin TV, spiritual questions you might have, questions you have, dialogue you might want to get into, whether it's me or me and a friend. We'd like to start kind of being interactive with you. So again, 323-632-9289, whether you want to say something about the podcast or the ministry, how you've been impacted, or you want to, ask a question, for us to, talk about on the podcast. And by us, I mean, I'm going to start involving some of my, dear friends and peers and brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ to join me on the podcast to discuss at times, if it's not just a normal, simple sermon podcast like I usually do, or maybe even some of the special guests that we'll have on over the course of the year. So there's that. Three simple ways that you can give. If you want to give to the monthly ministry on a monthly basis, even if it's only $2 a month, go to patreon.com/DavidLeoSchultz. If you just want to give a one-time donation, go to ragamuffinnation.com/donate. And if you want to help me knock out the $30,000 I have in credit card debt to pay for the St. Francis movie, you can go to gofundme.com/st-francis-movie. All right, well, sit back, relax, and enjoy this sermon. Let's begin, though, with a word of prayer. God, it's been a crazy week, and all joking aside, we pray for the people suffering from this disease. God, we pray for everyone who is suffering from fear. We pray that there are real ramifications of people like myself and others who are out of work. And fear can be a slippery slope, God. And so, God, I don't believe peace was ever intended to be a feeling. I believe it was a person who is to be experienced. And God, as a Christian, I believe that that's you. And I pray, God, that everybody, whether on their deathbed, on the way out, or they're drowning in fear, or they're out knocking on doors trying to find a new job right now in one of the essential categories so they can be outside of their house to pay their bills for their house, because those bills don't stop. God, I pray for all of us. It's one of those times where we can really be unified, God, through horrible circumstances. But God, just draw us closer to your heart and to each other into loving our neighbor. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are moments a loving father lets go of you to give you an opportunity to ride the bike without the training wheels. There are moments when a loving leader leaves you in charge while she leaves the office, giving you a chance to stand on your own two feet. There are moments when the overused expressions like "when the rubber meets the road" may still be trite, but just because it's trite doesn't mean it's not true. Over the past week, I've seen in my own soul how many functional saviors, false idols of hope, safety nets, and crippling crutches I have in my own life. And with each one, they leave a trail that leads into a labyrinth filled with the false hope of security. In my almost 40 years of life, I've come to think that one of the enemy's to my own intimacy with God is security itself. I'd much rather say I'm a Christian than actually have to be one. I'm not talking about moral missteps, theological pontifications, or mere Bible believing. I'm talking about the real blood and guts of being a disciple, an apprentice, as Jim Smith would say, of Jesus. So much so where if he, being Christ, asked me to walk on water just like him, I trust that it will be his hands that hold me up from drowning in despair. If you've been a Christian for longer than 5 minutes, you know that the regular rhythms of most of Christianity have very little to do with trust. The ethos of our religion that has been formed over the last 2,000 years has everything to do with primarily two buckets: belief and behavior. Of course, I was raised fundamentalist evangelical, so maybe that's just from my naive perspective. But it has always tended to be those two buckets, belief and behavior. Again, not bad things, but certainly not the deep things. It doesn't take blood or guts or sweat to believe a doctrinal statement or adhere to a moral code of ethics. The real blood and guts of what Christ calls us two can be found in the lesson learned from Jesus when the disciples asked their rabbi to teach them how to pray. He didn't teach them to build a banking account, but to learn to depend on the daily providence of God. He didn't teach them to hold a grudge, but to forgive 77 times 7. He didn't teach them to seek revenge, but to love their enemies. He didn't teach them to hate thyself, but to forgive thyself. He didn't teach them to build an empire, but to hope for the way of heaven to be the way of earth. He didn't teach them to play with the fire of temptation that I so often love to play with, but to pray to be delivered from themselves. If you're anything like me, when the current crisis started unfolding, fear started knocking. Questions started swirling around in your and mine head. The 24-hour news cycle painted a panic picture of the worst-case scenario. Celebrities started singing Imagine If We Had No Possessions. Meanwhile, a mile from their houses, over 70,000 homeless people already have no possessions or house to sing little videos into their phones with. And I'm not trying to be mean to those people. I'm just saying that I share with the same common struggle that those celebrities struggle with, and that is they're used to looking from the world from the top down instead from the bottom up. But if they had the eyes, and I'm talking about me too, if I and they had the eyes to see, they would know that most of the world already lives on the bottom. There are so many of us that are already diseased, so many of us that already don't have houses, so many of us that already are out of jobs, so many of us that already have no possessions. They don't have to imagine. When tolerance for Christianity became legal in the year 313 AD, men and women escaped into the wilderness not only to pray, but to preserve the faith. These heroes of the faith, known as hermits, monks, friars, and the desert mothers and fathers, for the last 2,000 years have had three primary vows: poverty, chastity, and obedience. And if you're the typical churchgoer, you might subconsciously at least go, oh, nice for them. But I think that if you just skip over it, you skip the immense wisdom found in those three. Recently, I was listening to Another Name for Anything podcast, and I'm not quite sure of the context, but the Franciscan priest Richard Rohr mentioned that today, these three vows, and I think he might have got it from somewhere else, but maybe not. It's not the first time I've been wrong and it won't be the last. The three vows properly understood today would look like this. Poverty would be simply called simplicity. Chastity would be called devotion. And obedience would be called obedience to reality. So that last one really grabs me. Let that sink in. But for now, let's just focus on the last, obedience to reality. Could one of the blessings be of the last few weeks that we are forced to recognize reality goes far beyond our distractions of comfort, entertainment, games, hobbies, work, materialism, and even our pain? Because through our own security blankets being stripped away, we are forced to look outside of our metaphorical mansions, that we are blocking the really real around us. I've wondered what the hundreds of thousands of those who have not have been thinking the past week as they have seen those of us who have run around like chickens with our heads cut off for groceries, toilet paper, and stockpiles of junk food. I've wondered what the terminally ill, those dying in hospice, and the chronically sick have been thinking as they see the rest of us run around with face masks and hand sanitizers. I've wondered what the conversations must be like for those who have been in prison for decades as they watch on the news as the world must now stay in their homes on lockdown for the next few weeks. I guess we all have our idea of what we wish Orthodox Christianity looked like or looks like. For some, it's a universal belief in a particular theological camp. For others, they think that we should all look like the Simpsons character, Ned Flanders. My hope is that we would love like Jesus, and I know I'm not alone in that. It seems that Jesus was this magnet for the least of these, the poor, the imprisoned, and the perishing. I think that the desert fathers and mothers had this prophetic foresight to see that this world so easily distracts with possessions that provide such a false savior of security. I think the holy wisdom of the monks and friars went well beyond their chastity, but to devote their hearts to the great provider, knowing God is really all they will ever need. But above all, living with nothing, having nothing, and away from all distractions, they were able to be obedient to reality. Don't hear me wrong. Look, I'm not one of those crazy kooks that think God sent a disease to wipe out the sinners, but death has always been a part of the passageway to resurrection. Death is a part of the deal. Sometimes death is subtle and quiet, but sometimes it's so loud it's impossible to ignore, and I pray that it does for you what it's currently doing for me, forcing me to be obedient to reality. The world is being forced to Sabbath. And I pray in this time of rest, we can go to the great provider and ask him for one possession and only one possession, trust. I believe this is what Jesus was trying to teach when Jesus asked Peter to get out of the boat of security and walk on water. The only thing that Peter needed was his eyes on Jesus. He didn't need the boat, a lifesaver, a rope. He didn't need to look down, back down at the boat. He just needed to keep his eyes on Jesus. But still, we got bills to pay. Back to our reality, right? I know the pain more than most. I'm scared too, my friends. I write these words more for me than for you, but trust me, I'm not preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to my own scared soul. And frightened, fearful, hiding under the covers heart. But Jesus is enough. Over the past few months, my favorite verse has become the line from the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." Like Peter walking on water, sometimes it takes the first step into the abyss of faith to see that in the darkness, in the absolute nothingness, you have everything you need. Because you have God Himself. And yes, God will provide, but if you allow yourselves to trust, you might learn what I'm learning. God is all you need and have ever needed. Everyone is quick to say in regards to our current coronavirus crisis that this too shall pass. I do hope. But I hope not before we are all awoken to the reality of Jesus laying in the streets with no home or food. The really real reality of Jesus who has been locked up in prison with no visitors for decades. Awoken to the reality of Jesus who has a terminal disease dying in a hospice. And Jesus who is chronically sick with no hope for a cure. We say we love Jesus, but if we can't see Jesus in the faces of our dying and destitute neighbors, what good is our love? Our current reality, or worst case scenario future, is the present reality for far more than you can imagine. I'm not wishing a guilt trip on you, but my hope is to wake your heart up to an exciting adventure. Like Captain Marvel or Indiana Jones, join me in this life and maybe for the rest of your life to love our neighbors. For if Jesus really meant what he said, then he is our neighbor.